To hear the big insurance companies tell it, Florida is becoming way too risky a place to do business, at least when it comes to insuring property. They apparently have no trouble insuring vehicles in Florida. State lawmakers have been trying to do something about it for years, but have yet to nail down a solution. Just what is the problem, and what's the solution? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from St. Joseph's Hospital, where compassionate care and medical expertise have been provided to the Tampa community for over 75 years. A regional leader in medical excellence, improving the health of our community. Information at 813-443-2028.
From the Donna Studio, WSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Let's go right to a lawmaker who claims he has a solution, or perhaps a good step toward a solution. Republican John Wood of Winter Haven is vice chairman of the House Insurance and Banking Subcommittee. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, just quickly, before we get to your idea of how to fix a problem, tell us just exactly what the problem is in a nutshell.
We're really talking about the health of our Florida property insurance market. Despite six hurricane-free years, there really aren't enough insurance companies competing for our business, and most consumers have limited choices for insuring their homes. Our state government, through the Citizens Insurance Company, is much too involved in the market, and in fact is the largest insurer in the marketplace. And that is a problem because the taxpayers of Florida back up the Citizens Insurance Company because of the fact that the Citizens Insurance Company, when it runs out of money, it then has the ability to assess every insurance policy, which impacts the vast majority of the Floridians with higher insurance premiums.
Well, now, no one seems to be saying this out loud, but it seems if Republicans believe it, why not just come out and say we've got to get rid of Citizens Property Insurance Corporation altogether, just get rid of it?
It's not just that easy to just eliminate it because of the vast number of policies that Citizens Insurance Company has. But we do need to decrease the size of Citizens, and that's called what we call that is depopulate. In other words, move a lot of those policies that are in Citizens Insurance Company back into the private market. I think the total elimination of Citizens, while maybe a good ideal, will probably be very difficult to obtain because at the end of the day, there perhaps will always be certain properties that really can't find any private insurance, and perhaps then it's appropriate for Citizens to be an insurer of last resort.
You and Naples Senator Garrett Richter are co-sponsoring a measure that aims to, in your words, bring back some healthy competition among insurance companies in Florida. Seems like there are four main points to the measure. Insurance companies must increase their surplus. So you're worried about the small startups?
Yeah. The only thing worse than not having property insurance is having a property insurance company that can't pay your claim. So we want to make sure that there is a minimum of necessary capital for these insurance companies to properly protect their policyholders.
Shortening the time during which a property owner can file a claim from 5 years to four, that's another provision in your measure. Most states don't let you file hurricane claims after 2 years, so if I may, why so lax?
Well, and that's a very good point. One of the things that this bill is trying to do is create a better environment for private capital to come to Florida. We have to realize we're competing for insurance capital with the rest of the nation and really for the rest of the world. And capital goes to where the best rules are to ensure that there's an adequate rate of return for that capital. So I agree that we need to move back towards the national norm in how long a company can be liable for paying claims.
All right, sinkhole payouts must be used to fix the damage. I wasn't aware that was a big problem.
I do not feel Florida has a sinkhole problem in terms of a casualty, and the testimony before our committee clearly indicated that. What Florida has is a sinkhole claim problem, and that's created by the statute that we currently have and the ability of people to make claims and receive large amounts of money without the necessity of repairing their property. And this creates an unhealthy climate where people start viewing their insurance policy as a source of money to use for other things.
Do you have proof that this is a problem? And can you cite specific examples? And are you saying homeowners are just getting checks and going out and buying boats?
Let me just tell you about the testimony that came before our committee. There's a certain area of the state just north of Tampa that comprises northern Hillsborough County, Pasco County, Hernando County. And unfortunately, this area has become known around the state as Sinkhole Alley. But we had the Pasco property appraiser up testifying before the committee, and he showed us a map, and he showed us all of the sinkhole claims that had been made in Pasco County. And it literally covered every neighborhood and every part of Pasco County. If you looked at that map, you would think that Pasco County had sinkholes everywhere you looked.
John Wood of Winter Haven, Vice Chairman of the House Insurance and Banking Subcommittee, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me, and you all have a wonderful day.
All right, let's go to our panel now. Scott Johnson is the former VP for Florida Association of Insurance Agents, which lobbies on behalf of agents before the legislature. And he joins me now from Tallahassee. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Carson.
So what's your overall take of the ideas in the legislature aimed at insurance reform?
Well, overall, I think they are good, certainly well-intended. There's two bills. One is what's referred to as the general property bill that makes various changes to the private market and how it interacts with the regulatory environment and sinkhole changes and other issues like that. And the other bill deals with citizens and attempts to make it less of a competitive alternative to the private market and make sure that it provides coverage only to those who truly can't find it in the private market.
Paige St. John reports for the Sarasota Herald Tribune. She earned a Pulitzer Prize for her reporting on citizens insurance, and she joins me now from the road in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes.
Well, thank
very
you.
Very gray, very cold Cincinnati.
Well, welcome from this end of I-75. Thank you for being here. Lawmakers have been trying, or depending on your point of view, not trying to fix this problem for years now. Are they close to getting it right this time?
I don't think, and I think the lawmakers who are sponsoring this year's legislation will agree, this is not a one-year fix. We've been trying one-year fixes for the last 5 years, well, probably since Hurricane Andrew, and that's what gave rise to the project of why aren't things improving, what's going on that the legislature can't address or is out of reach to state regulators and policymakers. So no, I think this is remains a long-haul problem for Florida.
Sean Shaw, you served as Florida's insurance consumer advocate from November of 2008 until September of last year under CFO Alex Sink. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what's the big thing lawmakers can do this time around? What can they do to help nurse the industry back to health?
Well, I think it's really, Paige hit on it. This isn't a one-year thing. It's an incremental long-term plan that the legislature has to have that I don't think they have. I think we approach this and what can we get this session? And I think this session is a great example of overreaching. Essentially, what the legislature, in my opinion, has done has said, what can we do to make the environment better for insurance companies? And we'll take them at their word that if you increase, you know, the favorable environment here, if you make it easier for us to do business, if you make it easier for us to charge more premium, if you make it easy for us to deal with the homeowner and not with people that may represent that homeowner, then we'll come back and competition will increase and everything will be well in the world.
Are you saying competition, if it increases, will not be good for
consumers? I think it would be good, but I don't think that these bills necessarily equal more competition. I don't think that the answer to Florida's insurance woes are, you know, to deregulate the private market, to allow citizens to raise their rates 25% a year, to make it harder for you to enforce certain provisions in your policy. I don't think that's the way to improve the market. You know, the citizens bill, for example, I would agree with Mr. Johnson that citizens' rates are probably low in some areas. That's not to say that I think that citizens should be allowed to raise their rates 25% a year. I think that's too much.
Paige St. John, was Citizens a good idea that just went bad? What is your take on
Let's rephrase the question, because I don't think there's anything bad about Citizens, and in fact...
Well, if we were hit with a major storm, could it pay its claims?
It probably could do as well or better than many other companies in paying its claims, but it has a different mechanism to doing that. It has essentially the full faith and credit of the state behind it, and that's what the insurance industry and the Chamber of Commerce so much is the ability of Citizens to assess, but that's also what gives Citizens this essentially AAA kind of bond rating that people know that company can come up with the money, even if it means spreading it on everyone else. The problem with Citizens is why it is so large and whether that indicates that the market is unhealthy or actually if insurance companies don't want hurricane risk. And that's the underlying question I really don't see addressed directly much in Florida, and the problem that will solid companies ever come back? Why would they want hurricane risk when they can give it to the state? If they always have the ability to pass it off to someone else, then won't they continue to do that? Or will they go the other route and go to offshore reinsurance industry and pay what are upfront but much higher costs to pass that risk on to that market?
It's the largest insurer in the state now, 1.2 million policies.
Yes, and it has the largest capital reserves of any insurance company in the state, $5.1 billion. It is in better health than it was, according to its actuaries, from the 2004-2005 storms. It could absorb those without the assessments that we're now paying. And it has been able to grow reserves or surplus at a time when Florida's private carriers have not. In fact, with our own research shows that in the last 5 years without hurricanes, the amount of policyholder surplus in the state continues to shrink as companies continue to operate with very thin margins and on paper lose money and shift much of the premium they're collecting either offshore to reinsurance or to themselves through managing agency agreements with affiliates that they've set up.
Sean Shaw, what happens if Florida gets a Katrina or an Andrew this year? What happens to Citizens?
Well, they'll clearly have to assess money, and the taxpayers will be on the hook. But I mean, that's a huge storm. I mean, that's a big storm. If Andrew hits again, we're going to be in trouble. I mean, that's just the fact of life. If a hurricane that big hits, but I think to answer your question, I think we all agree that Citizens right now is too big. There's too much exposure. It needs to shrink. How we do that, how we get the private market to come back to Florida, if they ever will, is the key question. And the legislature seems to think that if you give them everything they're asking for, that they will come back in droves. And that's kind of just going to be hard for people to swallow when their rates start going up, when the time for them to file a claim is shortened. When, one of the very interesting things is we're sitting here where everybody wants to shrink Citizens. If one of these bills passes, Citizens is the only company that will be forced to offer sinkhole coverage. So Citizens will not shrink under this bill. At least I think that if you want sinkhole coverage, which you're going to have to get because banks require you to get it in certain areas, you're going to have to go to Citizens to get it.
But you have the government involved in the insurance industry. Some argue this ought to be a private market. I mean, you've got the government in there running it, setting the rates. It competes with the private market, which bothers a lot of folks, and it spreads the pain to everyone. As you said, you sort of force Peter to pay Paul.
Well, I think that's the reality, as Scott says, living in Florida, living in a place where we have hurricanes, where we have these very expensive, rare storms that we've got to have this. And, I mean, if there was no – I think we just talked about this when we heard the governor saying he didn't want Citizens. If we ended Citizens right now, the private market would not accept all the policies. I think that's Exhibit A for some kind of government involvement in this area.
Scott Johnson.
Yeah, you said robbing Peter to pay Paul, which I think is a great phrase to describe what we've done in Florida. Yes, Citizens has built up some surplus in excess of $4 billion, $5 billion, and that's good. But it's been through subsidies from the private market and through assessments on those it does not even insure, including people who don't even own property.
We're talking about the ongoing problems with our property insurance market in Florida with consultant Scott Johnson, reporter Paige St. John, and attorney Sean Shaw. This is Florida Matters. Paige St. John, from what I can tell, Florida's insurance problems, as we know them today, sort of began with Andrew back in 92. The losses were $14 billion. Florida started building up a domestic insurance market, the PUPs, as they're called. Why did Florida start building a domestic market after Hurricane Andrew?
Well, the PUPs were one phase of what happened after Andrew. The PUPs essentially are the state subsidiaries of the national companies. State Farm created State Farm Florida. Allstate created Allstate Floridian. That was essentially to create a firewall and to satisfy their investors and Wall Street that the risk in Florida could not damage the parent company if it became unbearable. It's a parachute cord, essentially. But more importantly, after that is the creation of these Florida domestic companies, small companies that only operate in Florida, don't have the backing or the wisdom of a national company, and we began to see people entering the property insurance business who had backgrounds in selling sports memorabilia and office copy machines and real estate. And we've seen many of those companies now collapsing in the last 2 years, simply unable to carry the weight of the business model that's been developed in Florida of selling insurance and then turning around and buying reinsurance offshore to pass the risk along. It's the property insurance version of the subprime market of bundling and rebundling the risk and trying to move it out into a different financial.
Well, one of the measures before lawmakers is insurance companies must increase their surplus. So it seems that they're worried about the small startup companies as well.
Yes. In fact, they had, we found out, concern for a number of years, but never been able to get any traction on it with either the governor's office or the legislature. And for the last 2 years now, the Office of Insurance Regulation has proposed increasing the solvency level to $15 million. That will help somewhat. If you're a company, though, carrying billions of dollars of risk, you probably still need a lot more than $15 million in the bank to show that you're sound.
You always hear the argument that, you know, Florida is a sitting target for hurricanes, and that's true enough, but California's fault lines, they're not going away anytime soon. Hundreds of homes are lost to wildfires out west every year. The Midwest, and as we learn, the South gets hammered by tornadoes. Hundreds of cars slide off the roads up north. No pup companies there. Why Florida? I mean, why is Florida a special needs state as far as these local insurance companies?
In California, you could still get a home loan, you could get a mortgage without quake insurance. And in Florida, though, you cannot get a home loan or a mortgage without hurricane coverage. And so we've got a different dynamic here. But the homeowner is essentially hostage. They have to buy something. They have to pay essentially what anyone offers or requires. And they don't have the market power to say no, which is, I think, the missing element when we're talking about free market solution for Florida. You've got to be able to give the consumer the power in order to balance the table and make those forces work.
Sean Shaw, why should a State Farm customer in Helena, Montana, subsidize a State Farm customer on Siesta Key?
Well, because it's a national company. I mean, that's how you do it. You make money over here to lose money over. I mean, that's how kind of insurance works. It's a pooling. You know, you have a risk of flood over here, balanced with a risk of hurricane over here, balanced with a crop fire maybe over here. So Paige said it exactly right. It's a firewall. That's what it is right now. And so State Farm Florida can come to the legislature and say, we're losing billions of dollars a year. And then when you see the national profit loss statements, State Farm National is making a lot of money. And I remember, I think when State Farm asked for that huge rate increase and threatened to leave the state, that was their woe is me argument to the legislature that actually seemed to work because they got everything they asked for, essentially. But we're losing so much money in Florida, we're just going to have to leave if you don't allow us to do X, Y, Z.
And I'm going to ask Paige St. John just a moment more about that State Farm issue. But let me ask Scott Johnson, is it fair to the folks who choose to live in less risky areas to subsidize someone who lives on the beach?
Let me answer that by kind of going to the it's the same thing whether inland policy holders should subsidize those living on the coast. It's a similar issue as to whether those in Helena, Montana should subsidize those living in Florida. And the fact is, all 50 states have laws that prohibit that from occurring with respect to the pricing of insurance in each of the individual states, including Florida. A way to cause that to occur would be to create some sort of a federal catastrophe fund, something I and the insurance agents in Florida and other organizations have supported for a number of years. However, the barrier to implementing a federal catastrophe fund are the senators who are located in Montana and Idaho and places like that who don't want to vote to subsidize what has been irrational and imprudent building on the coastline in the state of Florida. We've got $3 trillion, as much as the state of New York, sitting in harm's way, and we average a lot more hurricanes than New York. So I don't. Yes, Sean is right. Insurance is about pooling of risk, but it's always with respect to identifying those risks who are more exposed than others and requiring them to pay their proportionate and fair share of the total exposure. And we have abandoned that principle in Florida via mechanisms like Citizens and the CAT Fund and perhaps some regulatory overreach as well with suppressed rates and so forth. And what we're experiencing today is the result of that imprudence. We have continued building on the coast unabated, and that merely increases the need for us to receive reinsurance from markets that we cannot regulate and whose rates that can't be suppressed and held down. And that's a result of a partial result of some of the financial difficulties our domestic carriers are experiencing today.
Scott Johnson, insurers believe, because climate experts will tell them this, that we are still on a long-term upswing in hurricane activity that happens in a 30 to 40-year cycle. Do you believe that's cause enough to start boosting rates?
No. The key here, if we're talking about rates, is the loss costs of the insurance company. What are the losses and what are the cost drivers of the rate increases that we have experienced in Florida over the last 2 or 3 years? So we've had in excess of 150 approved rate increases over just the last couple of years, and some of those rate increases are for substantial amounts, averaging around 30%, but some for more than that over that two-year period. And yet that's a period in which we haven't had any storms. So the question should be, what is driving the loss statistics that have caused the OIR to approve those rate increases? And I think you'll find that it's sinkholes is one of them, and in fact a primary cause of it, but also the ability or the requirement that people can be paid cash up front without having to spend their insurance payment to repair the damage that occurred. That's driving both the severity of all of the claims and the frequency of the claims so that our loss deterioration in Florida without any catastrophes over the past 3 years is up 80%, projected to go up another 40% over the next 12 months. That's what's driving the rate increases.
Let me interject for a second.
Paige St. John.
Right, thanks. I want to ask, and it is true, I really agree with you, Scott, that what is driving the losses and costs for the insurance companies are what the state needs to look at. But when the focus is on sinkhole damage or cash up front and not on the biggest bill that the Florida insurance companies deal with, and that's their reinsurance premium, and then the second biggest bill, and that's the money they pay themselves for management services. Why are those two issues not on the table as well?
Well, I think one thing we need to remember, for better or worse, the system we have, which relies 90 to 100% in many cases on reinsurance, is the system that we have left to us in Florida, the one that was adopted and fostered by Charlie Crist and lawmakers at the time. They literally told insurance companies, the large national carriers and super regional carriers, who don't depend nearly as much on reinsurance but have huge surplus reserves instead, they were told to get out of the state. Good riddance, I believe, was the quote I read. So we've got a system in Florida which, for better or worse, is the MGA-based system that depends on reinsurance. And reinsurance is a global product. it's based on, it's a finite number each year, and it's based on losses and catastrophes from around the globe. We have a tsunami in Japan that's going to run somewhere in the $40 billion range. That will impact the prices of reinsurance in Florida, as well as floods in Australia and earthquakes in Peru. So that's the system we have. So if we want to change that system, the first thing we need to do is to make the changes that are necessary to attract back those large carriers that we told to get out several years ago. Because remember I said there were 150 rate increases over the last several years under the current system. Well, believe it or not, there were a handful of insurance companies during that same period who decreased their rates for homeowners insurance. And for the most part, it was carriers who had enough surplus that they didn't have to rely as much on reinsurance.
Able
to reduce their rates and still maintain the permissible profit levels from the OIR.
And I just don't buy the argument that the legislature seems to buy, that in addition to those 150 rate increases, we should allow them even more rate increases, the ability to get more, and to then eliminate sinkhole requirement as well, and that will attract more companies to the state.
I agree with you, Sean. My focus is in lowering the loss costs so that they don't have to ask for rate increases.
That's Scott Johnson, a consultant with Johnson Strategies, LLC, and formerly with the Florida Association of Insurance Agents. And that's our show for today. Have you had a hard time getting property insurance in Florida? You can email us at floridamatters@wusf.org or join the discussion on our Facebook page. Florida Matters is produced by Robin Sussingham and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.